Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Still rocking and rolling here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 2:30. Our coverage of Rams and Eagles coming up following myself. Couple of guests still set to stop by the program coming up in about a half hour at 1:30. Our pal J.P. Finley going to join us. He was inside the locker room last night. We'll ask him the vibes that were out in Detroit, man, just seemed like it was just an electric environment. The entire Commanders football team with Cartiers on last night, Kevin Durant in Washington's locker room. It was just an absolute madhouse in Detroit as Washington punches their ticket to the NFC Championship game for the first time in 33 years. Washington 60 minutes away from punching their ticket to the Super Bowl down in New Orleans. One way that Washington can keep this Cinderella season going is if the defense continues to step up and play big. Last night, I thought Washington was pretty opportunistic on the defensive side of the football. Forcing, was it 5 turnovers? There were 3 Jared Goff interceptions. And it just felt like defensively, Washington was just ready for the moment. And I think there were a couple of standout performances individually, but I thought as a whole, you know, they want to run and hit people, right? Joe Witt is, you know, unapologetic about the style of football and the brand of football that they want to play. They want to be fast, violent, and physical. And you saw that last night from the opening drive of the football game. Dante Fowler with a big TFL on Jahmyr Gibbs, forcing a loss and forcing the 3-and-out on the opening drive from Detroit. Going into this game, I was really, really curious as to how Washington would slow down this Detroit Lions offense, and it felt like time and time again they were able to get pressure on Jared Goff and make him make some tight window throws. Washington played the 7th highest percentage of man on early downs during the season. They played the 4th highest percentage of man on 3rd down. Last night, Washington played zone on 35 of Jared Goff's 40 dropbacks. And versus the zone, Goff was 20 of 33 and threw 3 interceptions. So clearly Washington and Joe Witt Jr., you know, put a game plan together that worked masterfully. Now, I do understand the run defense was a problem. Cleveland Farrell doesn't stay home on the Jameson Williams reverse, and it ends up being a big play. Jahmyr Gibbs was able to pop off big runs. He finished with 105 yards on the ground. He had a 33-yard run. He had a bunch of different chunk runs in this football game. But, man, outside of Mikey Sainristil still, there were a couple other really good individual defensive performances. I thought one of them came from Commanders defensive tackle John Allen, who, in my opinion, since returning from the pec injury, has actually been really, really good. Last night, John Allen with 6 pressures, tied for his most in a single game since week 11 of 2022. He had 4 hurries, 2 quarterback hits, One tackle for loss. I thought John was really impactful last night and did a really good job pushing the pocket. He was stout at the point of attack, did a good job setting the edge on a couple of different run plays. John Allen is a guy from Stonebridge, Virginia, DMV guy through and through, grew up rooting for this team. When they have the success that they're having, I can't help but think of guys like John Allen. I can't help but think of guys like Terry McLaurin, who have been here and wore it over the past couple of years on some not-so-good teams. They deserve this more than anyone. John, to me, though, is a special story because when John first tore his pec against the Baltimore Ravens, it was largely assumed that he was going to miss the rest of the regular season. Not only was that not true, ever since he's come back, he's made an impactful play in each football game. He made some impactful plays against Atlanta. He made some impactful plays last week against Tampa. I thought he was awesome, although the box score may not have said so. I thought he was good and stout at the point of attack. I thought he did a really nice job keeping the linebackers clean by eating up double teams. It allowed Bobby Wagner to flow downhill. So shout out to John Allen. I continue to feel like, you know, his best football is still ahead of him. I know he's a guy that a lot of us here locally, I think personally, take for granted. No, him and Deron Payne have not lived up to being the highest paid defensive tackle duo in football. But last night, I thought both of those guys were pretty impactful. John, as we read the numbers, 6 pressures is most in the game since 2022. So an impactful performance from Commanders defensive tackle John Allen. He spoke to our own J.P. Finley postgame after Washington's big win against Detroit.
You spent your whole career in Washington. Now you're going to an NFC title game. What does it mean for you to work your way back from injury, be part of this playoff run?
Man, God is good. Got to give Jesus Christ all the credit, all the glory. I'm just happy to be a part of this organization.
What does it say about this team to come up to Detroit, the one seed, and just dominate, really, from start to finish?
We're a good team, and I think today was a great game for our confidence. We're excited. Defensively, still a lot of things we got to improve on, so we're going to look at the film, enjoy this for 24 hours, and get ready for whatever we got to play next week.
5 takeaways, obviously DQ and Joe Witt preached that. What did it mean for you as the turnovers started piling up and your defense gets some momentum?
It meant a lot. Whenever you give Jaden Daniels an opportunity or that many opportunities, things will be good for us. So, you know, obviously I think a lot of things to clean up, but in the playoff football, when you're able to win the turnover battle 5-0, 4-0, whatever it is, it's a good day for the defense.
Jaden keeps surprising you with hit.
Jaden Daniels. This is what we come to expect.
When I came out here in OTAs, I knew it was different. That was everything I needed to see. Man, this is cool, bro. I can't even, like, put my head around this, man. Because nobody thought we would be here.
It's John Allen talking to our own J.P. Finley. J.P. also got the chance to catch up with Jeremy Reeves postgame. You should start to hear that. In about 19 minutes, we'll be joined right here by J.P. Finley. He'll take us inside of the locker room that was last night. Washington punching their ticket to the NFC Championship for the first time since 1991. We're talking about this Commanders defense right now. Who were you most impressed with on the defensive side of the football? John Allen had a really big game. Dorrance Armstrong coming up with 2 sacks. I thought a bunch of different guys made plays. Right now we're taking your calls on who was most impactful to you on the defensive side of the football. 1-800-636-1067. Reggie is in D.C. What's up, Reg?
What's going on in there? You know, man, me and you chopped it up, man, during the halftime and all that, man.
Yes, sir.
I think, man, a couple of things. For the defense, I got to give it to Mikey, man. Yeah. Mikey was balling out. But this one thing that bothered me, Linnell, man, and if you took this team, I'm talking about, you know, 12 wins and right going into the playoffs, if you put them in Chicago, not necessarily saying D.C. is not big, because it is, but we've been bad for so long. If you put us in Chicago, New York, Linnell, this wouldn't have been like a surprise. Now, hear me out. Yeah. I'm not saying that I favored us to beat Detroit. What I told my boys this, I think I called another station and said this, I said that they would not be able to stop our offense.
Yeah.
The reason why, Linnell, they had 16 people on the defensive side that was on IR.
Yeah, that's a lot.
They was playing backups to backups. And if you took our offense right and you broke it down, and I think you mentioned this a lot, is this statistically. Linnell, why are you surprised when you think about it? Top 5 scoring offense, top 5 overall offense, mm-hmm. right? And then look at Jaden Daniels from, like, all the advanced metrics.
Yeah.
The boy has been – minus him. Imagine if he didn't get hurt, Linnell.
I know.
So we getting really kind of like the, oh, you know, and I get it, long college season, you know, I had to buy and he got that rest. But imagine if he didn't get hurt. I mean, if you think about it, Anil, why would we think as a fan base, right, that he wouldn't do this? Because he did it all season.
Well, I'll be real, and I agree with you. I agree with you, Reg. I said it on the pregame show, and you agree. He has played his best football in all the biggest games of the season. So, no, I wasn't surprised by his performance last night. It's what we've come to expect from him. I just continue to look at a big picture, Reggie. I got to see him up close in person in training camp, and I tell the story all the time. When I saw him in OTAs, man, it was very clear that he was better of the two quarterbacks between him and Mariota. You saw him getting the football out on time, not holding it, something that you see a rookie quarterback do. And then Mariota was, you know, not confident with his decision-making, not getting it out on time. But everything looked so nonchalant with Jaden at first. And then we got to see him in training camp in these joint practices, and you really saw the competitive edge begin to take over, man. He's a special dude.
But then if you think about also, Linnea, if you think about it, though, written to my last point, if you think about it, like, we kind of got a break because everybody was talking about Caleb. Now, remember, I think a lot of the pundits said if Caleb wasn't in this draft, that Jaden would have been number one unanimous and it's not even close. So we kind of got, like, really, you know, if you think about it, and I think, again, you being a sports fan, we're never going to see this from a rookie quarterback again.
No.
I'm not talking about, we'll see the, you know, like the, you know, get to the playoffs because we've seen it with RG, Russell Wilson. You can go down the list. I'm talking about NFC Championship going on the road, beating a 15-win juggernaut of an offense, you know, new ownership, new coach, 35, 40 different players. Like every now and again in sports, you'll get kind of like that one of those, like, man, you're never going to see that.
Flash in the pan is what I call it. Reggie, I appreciate you as always, my brother. We're up against it.
My man, appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you tapping in as always. 1-800-636-1067. Coming up in about 15 minutes, JP Finley set to join us. When we come back, more of your calls. Who stood out on the Washington Commanders defense last night after the Commanders punched their ticket to the NFC Championship game? Your calls next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll be joined by our guy, J.P. Finley. Co-host of B. Mitch and Finley, weekdays 10 to 2 right here on The Fan. He was in Detroit last night and got the opportunity to go inside the locker room after the Commanders' big 45-31 victory over the Detroit Lions, punching their ticket to the NFC Championship for the first time since 1991. And the scenes last night in Washington's locker room, I mean, it was absolute bedlam. Can't wait for JP to hop on and tell us about that. Right now, though, I want to go to the Commanders' locker room. Last night, JP Finley catching up with our tribal chief, Frankie Louvu.
I got to ask, you come up here, you take out the one seed. Is it tequila time?
Man, yeah, tequila time right now. You know what I mean? Tequila, for how many, man, what time is it?
It's midnight. Midnight.
Anyways, yeah, it's going to be tequila time right now. Anytime, anywhere, you know, any place. But, yeah, man, I'm just going to celebrate with my guys, man, and churches.
What's it say about DQ that he says, you just said it, anyone, anywhere, anytime, and you come in here and take this win?
Yeah, man, we don't just say it just to say it, man. We mean that. And everything that we do say inside the building, man, we bring that to life, man. You know, that three streak losses that we had in the season, man, like, is always a lesson learned. It's never a loss. And we took that to heart, and that's when we kind of leaned on each other and, you know, just went back to playing our brand of football. And, you know, we just kept moving on.
It's Frankie Louvu last night, post game after the big win. Taking your calls right now on impact guys. Who stood out for you on the defensive side of the football? I told you John Allen had a really big day. Most pressures in a game since week 11 of 2022. Six pressures. I believe it was two quarterback hits. Just a big-time performance from John Allen. Mikey Samuels still with two picks. Thought Louvu was impactful. Dante Fowler making some big plays. Dorrance Armstrong coming up with some TFLs. This defense, say what you want. Yes, they got gashed on the ground a little bit by Jahmyr Gibbs. It just felt like to me, every time they took the field, you know, I felt like, all right, they may give up yards, but they're not going to give up the big explosive. They did end up giving up the explosive to Jameson Williams, but outside of that, man, I thought, while it wasn't perfect, it was an opportunistic performance from the Commanders' defense. Kurt is in Ashburn. Wants to tap in. What's up, Kurt?
Greetings. I'll be succinct here. I was born and raised in Detroit, and the first NFL game I remember seeing was the NFL title game in 1957, Detroit Lions 59, Cleveland 14. I was 9 years old. And then we moved to D.C. in 63, and thanks to Sonny Jurgensen, Bobby Mitchell, and Charlie Taylor, I became a diehard Washington fan. I went to the Super Bowl and Rose Bowl in Pasadena when the Skins beat Don Shula Dolphins. And the Skins set a record which can never be broken. Zero passes completed in the second half by the Dolphins. So this is kind of like paradise revisited for me. The Skins surprised the NFL, as have these lads.
Yeah, Kurt, appreciate the call, as always, my brother. It's a really, really special time right now to be a Commanders fan. I was thinking about it last night. We're out at Honor Brewing Company in Sterling. I mean, people were in tears last night, man, watching, you know, families get to celebrate this moment together. There were some dads in attendance last night with some younger kids, and it was crazy. Like, this is all the younger generation of fans is going to know, right, is we're a perennial playoff team. We've got a franchise quarterback. It's a fun time to be a Commanders fan, and I'm telling you all, man, the best is yet to come with this group. D.C. is in Orlando. What's up, D.C.?
I should have whatchamacallit.
D.C.
I didn't pay attention to the whole thing.
He's not paying attention.
I appreciate
you. Let's go to Daryl in Columbia. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, Linnell, thank you for taking my call, man. You know, one of the guys stole my thunder, you know, because a lot of people I talk to, the prognosticators, they were talking about always how can we stop Detroit's offense. But, you know, my thing was how can Detroit stop ours with all of their injuries that they've had? But the other thing, Linnell, it's not just the players on the defense. I think the whole defense play well. But I think what's going under the radar, man, is our adjustments during the game, during the quarter, during halftime. I give the credit to our coaches. Our coaches are making halftime adjustments. How many times last year, man, that we used to always say Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio did not make adjustments at halftime or even during the game? And I think that's what won the game for us, man.
For sure, Daryl. I agree 100%. And Joe Witt Jr. deserves a ton of credit, man, because defensively in that second half, you saw them come out and play much better against the run. I know Gibbs was able to get off in that first half, but to your point, man, the adjustments have been so key here for Washington. Let's go to John in Utah. What's up, John?
Hey there. Yeah, I wanted to call and contribute, you know, in terms of biggest defensive impact, Quan Martin.
Yes.
And
how did I forget
about
him?
The interception.
Yes.
But getting it in the end zone.
Yes.
Not at the two, not at the three, where you have to be all this drama to get in, to break those tackles and finish that play is so indicative of how the team is done.
I can't believe I omitted Quan Martin, John. I appreciate you refreshing us here. Yeah, the pick six to me was the game-changing moment in this football game yesterday for Washington. Quan, what's so interesting about Quan, man, is he is one of the starters, one of the returning starters in the secondary that gave up the most touchdowns in NFL history last year. From day one of training camp, man, he has looked like this team's best free safety. He's shown off his range. He's tackled really well. Joe Witt Jr. talks about him ad nauseum in terms of just how impactful he's been. Just a solid overall football player. But when he takes it up a notch and registers a pick six, all is going well for this Commanders defense. Ray is in
two,
DC. What's up, Ray?
Out of the three.
Ray.
Yeah.
Ray, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I got you.
Hello.
1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, our guy J.P. Finley joins us next. Is the number on the MGM National Harbor listening lines. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Washington advancing to the NFC Championship for the first time since 1991 after their 45-31 victory last night over the Detroit Lions. It was a pretty opportunistic defensive effort, forcing five turnovers. They did a good job getting pressure on Lions quarterback Jared Goff. I just thought from a defensive perspective, I've been super critical of that group all year long. And for them to play as big as they did last night, I thought it was absolutely huge. As we look ahead, and I don't want to take too far of a look ahead because I want to be in the moment and celebrate what happened last night. As we take a look ahead, though, just for a second, this Washington defense, man, I continue to believe they are a group that is only going to get better. The cupboard was bare from a personnel standpoint with the Washington Commanders on defense. And Joe Witt Jr., who actually just completed an interview with the New York Jets to be their next head coach, he deserves a ton of credit. I really appreciate how genuine and open and honest and transparent he is at the podium every week. He's a guy, though, man, that these guys play hard for. They believe in him. And I think last night, him deviating from the normal game plan, playing a bunch of zone against Goff when Washington's been, you know, primarily a man-to-man team this year, just shows how versatile of a coordinator he is and the trust that he has in his guys. Right now, we go back out to the guest hotline where we find our pal J.P. Finley, the co-host of B. Mitchell Finley, which you can catch weekdays 10 to 2 right here on 106.7 The Fan. J.P., you were out in Detroit last night. First and foremost, man, as someone that has grown up rooting for this team, you're a DMV guy through and through. Before we get to any X's and O's, what was the feeling like for you, man, just getting to bear witness to this Washington punching their ticket to the NFC title game for the first time since 91?
Man, it was awesome. I was really happy for the locker room and the coaching staff and just the roster that's been put together. I mean, it's a group of really good, hardworking guys with a great mix of vets and young guys. And, you know, if you go back to when, like, DQ was hired and Cliff was hired, I mean, even locally, it wasn't all enthusiastic response, and I think that's been proven incorrect. And then for the fans, you know, the fans that toughed it out and spent the money to be there and just the fans watching and knowing that, like, just, you know, I've said it repeatedly that this team, this quarterback, this season has reminded this city how much they love football, and to see that continue for at least one more week and just to be 60 minutes away from playing in a Super Bowl is just crazy. And all year, as they, you know, they kept hitting these numbers where it's like, oh, this hadn't happened since 91. Oh, this hasn't happened since 91. It just gives it validity that this is – that team was a freight train. That was something entirely different, but this team – belongs in that conversation. And they've young kids now, if you're 12 or younger, like the 2 decades plus of futility and toxicity and just misery, frankly, is they don't remember that. Like, that's not what they're going to be their frame of reference. And for kind of that lost generation of fans that just saw nothing but largely suck, you know, this changes their mindset. Like, a guy your age will know, like, you know, as much as you say you're the youngest in charge, you're probably pushing 30 and you've never seen them win at this level. And it's fantastic for the region. It's fantastic for everybody associated with Burgundy and Gold.
It really is awesome. You joined us pregame yesterday and you talked about the confidence that this group has and the belief.
I told you guys I thought they could win.
You did. So shout out to you. But you hit on something, man, that I think isn't talked about enough, that there's a genuine belief in brotherhood within that locker room. You've covered a bunch of different teams. You've been on the record saying this is one of the closest teams you've ever covered in terms of just how much guys like each other, the amount of time they spend at the facility after work hours. Really just shows how much they enjoy each other. But, JP, I don't want to – never in sports radio do you want to get super political or super religious, but I can't help but notice – how, and I'm a religious guy myself, how the Lord has really kind of been at the forefront of everything with this group, from the quarterback to Terry McLaurin to Zach Ertz, everybody that you talk to. Every time either any of these players take the podium, they thank the big man upstairs first. Have you ever seen religion or spirituality kind of galvanize a group the way that it has with this team? I think it's going to end up being one of the off-season topics we talk about. If anyone wants to do a deep dive on this group, they really are locked in their faith, and it's a big reason why they believe in themselves.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. I'll start there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But Terry is a man of great faith and was last year on a 4-13 team too. Like, right. Sometimes you just win games and that galvanizes you, and right. the brotherhood pushes that forward. And I you don't want to discount any factor that may be involved, but I think there's plenty of guys in there that probably aren't as religious as the other. And I think if you want to speak to, like, the brotherhood element, I think there is a bond that has been formed within that locker room, kind of regardless of anybody's beliefs. And I think you don't necessarily need to look past that. Not to say that for, you know, whatever players, like, I mean, it's pretty wild for Jaden to post that thing on his Instagram you know, God tells you that things can happen faster than you think, be ready. I just, I've been in lots of religious dudes are in lots of locker rooms, and they teams have lost. So I right. think it's an oversimplification to try to act like there's like divine intervention here. I think they're just a good ass team,
yeah.
And I think they're hot. Like arguably being hot at the right time is more important than the entire body of work over a season. You got to get in the playoffs, and then you got to be hot at the right time, and they are. And I mean, they played their best game of the year in the divisional round. Like, that's what you want. And I have a friend who was on the Giants' first Super Bowl team with Eli, and he texted me Saturday morning and said, you know, this team reminds me a lot of that team, where you get in as a wild card, but you've got a hot offense and an opportunistic defense, and they're getting things done a different manner.
Right.
I just think – when you put a roster together and you put a staff together that pushes guys in the right way in a disciplined approach, and the discipline drives it from the top to the bottom. And I would say there's some moments where you really got to point to ownership. A lot of the guys, when you talk to them, will point to the time they spent between Cincy and Arizona as a real galvanizing moment for the team. And what that meant for them was just to spend more time together without, you know, family or friends or just distractions of home. And then what that really is a commitment from ownership to spend the money. And that just hadn't been there. Like, there's no NFL rule preventing staying over in situations like that. They just decided to spend the cash. And that's a big testament to this thing, too.
It's a really tight-knit group. It's really fun to watch it come to fruition on the field, man. This coaching staff, I don't think, gets enough credit either. You mentioned, you know, some of the critics of the hire. I wasn't blown away by it. I had my early doubts about a defensive-minded head coach coming in and working with a rookie quarterback. It's just not how you see it done a lot of the times throughout the National Football League. But Dan Quinn's ability to get the absolute most out of everybody on this roster, I think, has been really key. It was kind of poetic last night, JP, watching the game that De'Ami Brown had. Obviously, you know, since Noah Brown has been out, he's kind of emerged as that number two wide receiver opposite Terry McLaurin. He had his coming out party last weekend against Tampa, where he was huge in that football game. But then on a big third down early in the game last night, he has what I categorize as a drop. It was a good defensive play by the DB, just needed to have stronger hands there. And I kind of rolled my eyes and go, okay, is that De'Ami reverting back to De'Ami? But then he obviously finishes with 6 catches for 98 yards. This was a guy that, you know, multiple other coaching staffs basically straight up told us, hey, he can't see the field with us. He's someone that's worked really hard. It was cool seeing Terry get kind of choked up, JP, talking about his development, not only as a football player, but as a man. What have you seen from De'Ami, and what is, you know, his emergence kind of an example of here?
I mean, I think it's an example of the mindset this team has, where it's a next man up mentality, and that happens around the league. But, you know, as fans and analysts and whatever, like, we have the baggage of everything that had happened prior to about a year ago when Peters was hired, right? But, like, for the team and the staff and the players, they don't have any of that baggage. Like, what terrible, you know, personnel decisions and coaching decisions and any other terrible behavior that happened inside that building has no impact on Austin Ekeler or, you know, De'Ami Brown. Like, it's a new year, and I think for a lot of us that just got so beaten down by how bad everything was for so long, it became really hard to recognize that.
Yeah.
But to the dudes there, none of the previous stuff mattered. And frankly, the previous week didn't matter. And for a guy like De'Ami, the previous snap didn't matter.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair to call that a drop. Like, he's got to come down with that. But then, I mean, the throw from Jaden was out of this world, but the ball tracking ability on that big hitter they had.
That was a face mask too before he even caught it. It could have been PI.
I mean, it was like, De'Ami can play,
yeah.
And he knows it, and you know what really changes things for a receiver is when you have a quarterback like Jaden,
right.
A guy you know is going to find you, that you got to stick with the route, you got to stay in the play, and that hasn't always been the case either.
I want to ask you more about the quarterback. it feels like I will never get tired of singing his praises, but it always is cool to hear other people outside of our bubble kind of talk about him in great regard. I put out a tweet last night that he's like, if Mahomes and Lamar had a quarterback baby, it would be Jaden Daniels. I couldn't help but think about Tom Brady and his poise that he plays with after hearing him on the call. Man, we've got to bear witness to this kid all season long. When you first saw him in the spring, JP, did you think it could be this good, this quick, man? Because I continue to be amazed. I don't know if there's any quarterback I'd rather have right now than him.
I mean, to say you thought they'd be going to the NFC title game, I think you're lying to yourself. But I thought he was going to be really good. I thought he would hit the ground running. I thought they'd have a good offense. But to this extent and to the pinpoint passing and precise moments and pressure moments, I remember leaving the Falcons game at Northwest. And, you know, night games, you get out of there late. And I was walking to my car, and it's dark and it's cold, and Sverlugo was like 30 yards away from me. And we kind of like just looked at each other like, oh, my God, this kid, yeah. About Jaden. And in that moment, Barry and I were like, you know, him more so than me, but we both kind of were around covering the Nats run and the Caps run. And in your mind, we talked about it then, and we're like, your mind starts to wonder a little bit. But he continues to surpass expectations to the point where he's reaching a status where you probably can't really have expectations because, you know, when every week is a new high, what can you go in expecting? You just, right. you start to expect the unexpected or expect the unbelievable. And it's rarefied air, and he's there right now. It's unbelievable.
JP, this defense coming up with 5 turnovers in one of their better performances of the season wasn't perfect. Felt like every time they handed the ball off to David Montgomery, it was a bonus for the Washington defense. But I want to talk about a guy you spoke to in the locker room, John Allen. There was a lot of discussion earlier this year about, you know, whether or not, you know, fans wanted him back or not next year. Since he has returned from the PEC, JP, he's playing some of the best football of his career. Last night, 6 pressures. His most in a game since week 11 of 2022. What have you seen from John, and how timely is it that he's had his best 2 performances of the season in back-to-back weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you and I should go through our text thread about this.
Yeah.
John Allen's a really good player, man, and I think fans get frustrated by money when there's not, like, production
right.
tied directly to it, and D-line is not always a position where you see empirical data that supports the dollar amount. But Allen was great in Tampa. He was great last night. And I don't think – last night was such a complete effort. You know, he was a piece of that. I don't think they win in Tampa without John's performance.
Yeah.
I'm going to sound like Doc Walker for a second, but I think because it's been so bad here for so long that we're like always in a hurry to discuss the salary cap or free agency or you know, contract restructurings, whatever that is. But I think this year it was like missing the boat. Like there was just something so special happening that to focus on anything but the week to week was just too ingrained in our brains. And, you know, that stuff will work itself out, man. Like, they're going to have a million decisions there. Even if you don't lose one of your coordinators to a head coaching job, the coaching carousel is its own being. Like, they're going to lose staff. Like, guys are going to get other offers. Like, there is stuff coming. They got decisions to make. I think you got to get a deal done with Chin. I think you bring Wagner back. I think you bring Ertz back. Like, there's lots of things you got to do. But it's just now it's just not the time for it to me.
I agree with you 100%, man. It's been fun to just be able to be present in the moment and not looking ahead at the offseason. It feels like the last several years, man. This time, you know, a year or two ago, man, we're talking about the offseason. We're talking about free agency and what moves they need to make. But now we're talking about a team that has punched its ticket to the NFC title game for the first time since 1991. One more guy I want to ask you about, JP. Mikey Sainristil still just continues to impress me. Is poise and mature as Jaden is at the quarterback position for a rookie. I feel the same about Mikey Sainristil still. The flexibility to be able to play on the perimeter when they drafted him to be a slot guy kind of just shows how good of a football player he is. Coach Saban called him pound for pound best guy in the draft. Watching him grow this year has been phenomenal. What did you think of his performance last night?
He was great. I mean, he's been pretty much great all year. I think, you know, I do think Lattimore was really good last night.
Yes, yes.
And that was something that folks were worried about. I think Lattimore and Samristil as your corners with the competitive side of them in run support. Mm-hmm. And Marshawn's built for it. Mikey's a little smaller. But those guys are just completely fearless in run support. Think about that compared to early in the year when it was Forbes and BSJ. I mean, that is night and day different, specifically run support. And I think Mikey has those ball skills, you know, coming into college as a receiver. You saw him two really impressive plays last night. The one early on when he jumped the route in the end zone was
yes.
such a huge play. And, yeah, I mean, they've got a ball player in that kid. A second-round pick that hit. What do you know?
I'm about to say, man, from the Sewer Cravens to the Darius Geises of the world, now we get Mikey Sainristil still. JP, I will let you go on this, my friend. Can you give us any update on Sam Cosmi moving forward?
I mean, it's not good, dude. Last night, Nick Allegretti told me, however far we go, even if he's not on the field, the players know, the locker room knows. The severity of things, I don't know. That will bear out over the next few days. But, you know, I've texted with some people involved, and there's certainly a feeling that he's at least it's going to be Trent Scott going yeah. to Philly or L.A. I know that much.
Who actually played pretty well in relief. We had been very critical well. Of him yeah. at tackle, but at guard, just a different animal. JP, appreciate you joining us as always. Can't wait to hear you during the week, brother.
Okay, man. Take care.
That is JP Finley. The co-host of B. Mitch and Finley, which you can catch weekdays 10 to 2 right here on The Fan. Grant Paulson set to join us coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour next here on The Fan. About a half hour left to go in the program. It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham taking up the 2:30 hour coverage of the division round of the postseason. Continues. Rams and Eagles from Philadelphia set to kick off at about 3:30. Before that, man, we got to continue the celebration. Washington winning their first postseason game, punching their ticket, rather, to the NFC Championship for the first time since 1991. 45-31 winners last night, and we've discussed it from pretty much every angle. I continue to be impressed by the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. And I don't get tired of hearing other folks big up him. I don't get tired of hearing other folks talk about him in a tremendous light. Just watching it, man, and being a younger fan, I suffered through Rex Grossman. I suffered through John Beck. I remember thinking Jason Campbell was going to be the guy. I remember going through the Robert Griffin III era, then drafting Dwayne Haskins. So to actually have a one-of-one guy at the position is such a treat, and in large part it's the big reason why I think Washington is set up for long-term success, more so than any other team in the National Football League. This is only the beginning of something that is extremely special, and I can't wait to continue to watch it. Right now, we go out to the guest hotline where we find our pal Grant Paulson, the co-host of Grant and Danny, which you can catch weekdays 2 to 6:30 right here on The Fan. GP, you were a little under the weather, so you weren't able to make it out to Detroit. But what was it like watching it from home, man? Just a surreal feeling as the good guys are 60 minutes away from punching their ticket to the Super Bowl.
Well, it was absolutely incredible. Like most people sitting at home, I can't tell you how many times I looked over at my wife and I said, what is happening? Yeah. Is this real? With each of the big plays that they made, really after the Quan Martin pick six.
Yeah, that was a changer.
To go up two possessions for the first time. I think both of us kind of looked at each other. We didn't say anything and we just started laughing. I mean, it was just such a surreal night. for them to go to that building in that environment and to come out winners by two touchdowns as near double-digit point underdogs was absolutely astounding. But they believe, you know, there is something very special going on in that locker room. We talked about it on Grant and Danny this week. I have not been around a football locker room like what they've got going there, really, other than maybe in the weeks after the Sean Taylor tragedy and the death in 07 and those guys came together as brothers. It feels almost that close. I've seen it with the 2019 Nats, and I'm not working back from a championship, right? I mean, I think over the years, my opinion on like what comes first, chemistry or winning, has changed. And this is an example to me of chemistry does come first, of, you know, culture does come first. And Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and the entire operation get a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, they put together a tremendous staff. They're getting the most out of every guy on this roster. It was honestly kind of poetic last night, Grant, and it kind of tells the story of the season. Just when you're ready to count certain guys out, they come back and have big-time performances. We've been talking about it ad nauseum for like the last month or so. Can Brian Robinson Jr. get back on track? Can he, you know, rediscover himself as that powerful downhill runner that runs behind the shoulder pads? He scores two touchdowns last night. Deami Brown, who has been, in my opinion, the revelation of the second half of the season post-bye week, playing big in place of Noah Brown, he has that drop on the big third down to start the game, Grant, and I roll my eyes and go, uh-oh, same old Deami Brown as the other shoe dropped with him. And then after, just absolutely brilliant. Six catches for 98 yards. The ability to track the football the way that he did, Grant, on the just dime that Jaden Daniels threw, just shows how impressive this young man is. But I think Deami's story, GP, kind of just shows you, man, these guys believe, and this coaching staff has done a tremendous job getting the absolute most out of these guys.
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, starting with Deami Brown. Look, the first drop, I won't even call it a drop. It was a hell of a defensive play.
It was, yes.
I mean, it was a pass breakup, right? He's trying to haul in a pass, and a DB knocks it out of his hands. That happens. But the revelation that has been Brown, or the glow-up, as I'm calling it, in the postseason here is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He did not have a single five-catch game in 4 years before these playoffs. Not one in his entire career. Wow. In four football seasons. He's gone 5 for 89 in the tutty last week and 6 for 98 in these last two games. Where this came from, I think we all know. He was a third-round pick. He was talented. Someone had to step up without Noah Brown. There's extra attention being paid to Terry McLaurin. It should have been him. There was no reason really all along it couldn't have been him. But at their biggest moment, in their kind of darkest hour, so to speak, offensively, needing someone to make plays, he stepped up to the bell here.
Yeah.
Huge story. And to your point, I think it's well chronicled. Like, that has been a theme for them this year. Give them credit. They stuck with Brian Robinson. I thought, you know, too many weeks too long because I wanted to see more Chris Rodriguez. But as inactives came out 90 minutes before kickoffs in Detroit last night, here they were again, going back to the well. They were sticking with their guy. They were deactivating Rodriguez, and it was B-Rob again. And I thought he looked fresher,
yes,
faster, more explosive, shot out of a cannon. Like, I don't know if he was banged up or hurt or what we'll find out in due time. But to me, and I'm not working back from 77 yards and 5.1 a carry, like, I think people that have been watching him saw it. Mm-hmm. You just saw a burst and a jolt into the line of scrimmage and through the first level that you have not seen in weeks from him. But he was tremendous. He had 15 and 14-yard carries the first two times he touched the ball in the first quarter. 34 yards on his first three carries combined. And you kind of said, okay, they got something going here. But I also think that was Cliff Kingsbury related.
Yes.
And I want to give him his flowers. And I think frequently, like, the story should be Jaden Daniels. The story should be the players. I get that. But so often, I think we're sleeping on Cliff's import here. He did a thing last night. They've done some this year. But I thought you saw it put the Lions in a bad bind because they got great linebacker play in the run game. He basically stacked his receivers behind each other, like on the sidelines, a bunch. This happens in college at times. And basically what you do is you just pull four guys out of the formation defensively.
Yeah.
And now these linebackers are kind of in no man's land, kind of waiting to see, are you throwing a screen out here where you have numbers? They got a touchdown this way to Terry McLaurin of 58 yards. Or are you running the ball in a light box? And they did that, and it really got Robinson going on occasion. So I just think Cliff deserves credit for the design and the philosophy. But, wow, that's all I can say. Just absolutely amazing.
I want to get to the quarterback here for a second, Grant. He continues to be the story of this football team. I don't remember in recent memory or maybe ever since I've been watching football a guy elevate his team the way that Jaden Daniels has from the work ethic, the confidence that he plays with. There's just a trickle-down effect that it's had on this roster. Last night, we kind of have come to expect it, Grant. He has played his best in these biggest moments of the season. But last night I thought it was just different, and maybe it's because I'm hearing Tom Brady be mid on the color call. But like, it reminded me of like Brady and Mahomes and Lamar last night, just how surgical he was, being a step ahead offensively of Detroit's defense, getting the football out on time. Some of the touch that he shows on some of these deep balls, and especially the one to Diami, he's just a special player. Am I hyperbolizing it, Grant? There is quite literally no one I'd rather have right now at the position than this young man. And the crazy part about it is the best has yet to come. The weaponry is going to get better. The line's going to get better. They'll have more balance. How special has he been? And is it for you, is it hard to kind of put it into words just how impactful he's been?
Well, I don't think you're hyperbolizing anything. I mean, he's completely changed everything for them in one season. We've said all along, I think, in this town, if they could just find the quarterback, they'd have a shot. But I think there's more to it than just Daniels being unbelievable, right? Mm-hmm. If this was 3 years ago and Dan was still owning this team, as an example, or Ron was still the head coach or whatever, I think he'd drag Rivera and that operation into the playoffs probably. But so much of what they've accomplished and could still accomplish wouldn't have been possible. You know, this is, I think, to some extent about a new ownership group starting at the top and the way that they treat people, and a new general manager who treats players better than they had previously, and who knows what he's doing and has built a really good roster and made smart decisions, and a head coach who hired a perfect staff and has done an excellent job. I mean, this is kind of bigger than just one player to me this year. Having said that, obviously Daniels has elevated everything. That's what elite play does. That's what superstardom at quarterback does, and I think that's what you're getting from him unequivocally. And it certainly feels like they're set up to get that for a long, long time to come. Now, I'm not going to put the cart before the horse and just say right now that this is 10, 12 years of this, or it'll get better linearly every single year. Because it's frankly, it's hard to get better from this.
I mean,
right?
He's excellent.
I mean, when you're playing at a top of the league level, like one of two things is going to happen. We're going to find out that our perception right now, which is that they've got a Mahomes, Allen, or you know, Burrow type, is true, and that every single year they're going to be in the final four, final six mix in the conference. Or, you know, there's going to be ups and downs and ebbs and flows, and one of those two things is true. But for the moment right now, what we know is there's no quarterback playing better than this guy, and he's in his first season in the NFL. Yeah. And they're going to have another draft class to add this offseason and $100 million to spend. And more talented doesn't mean better, right? This is about the locker room and chemistry, and their shtick is brotherhood, right? So they're going to have to rekindle this magic in some way in the locker room next year as well, which will be tough. But I think as long as you got this guy, you're going to have a shot. It feels that way in every game they play. It's going to feel that way in every single season, to your point, because he is that dude. I mean, he is that special, it would appear. I think it just starts with all of the stuff we don't see, by the way.
Right.
Like, that's the part, to me, that makes Jaden Daniels Jaden Daniels. It makes the on-field product possible. But it's the off of the field, in the meeting room, in the VR lab, wherever he's cooking it up all week long. Like, it's that stuff that makes what we see in these games possible. And his demeanor is absolutely awesome. Like, I am intoxicated by how he's just so calm and, frankly, like, above it in the best way possible. I love it.
Yeah, and it's not just shtick either, man. This is genuine. This is real. It doesn't feel forced or fake at all. And we've seen guys in this town trying to fake it, Grant. You know better than anybody that this guy is just as genuine as they come. I think what you mentioned about the work, I just think he's in love with the process, man. I didn't get to grow up watching Michael Jordan. You got to see a lot of him. Is there some sort of comparison there in terms of just the type of competitor he is and the impact that he has on the game? It just feels like whenever he's out there, Washington's got a shot, as we mentioned. I want to move to the defensive side of the football here quickly, Grant. Wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Felt like Ben Johnson kind of self-sabotaged a little bit, giving David Montgomery 7 too many carries. Jahmyr Gibbs was unstoppable and was honestly, in my opinion, the second best player on the field outside of Jaden Daniels. But despite all of that, Washington forced 5 turnovers. They played a ton of zone and really made Jared Goff make some tight window throws. What stood out to you the most about Washington's defensive effort last night?
Well, they made the plays that the Lions couldn't defensively. I mean, we knew going into the game, collectively, all of us, this was going to be a shootout.
Yes.
Washington's offense was going to move the ball and score points on Detroit's defense, which isn't very good. And the Lions, offensively, were going to have a field day going up and down the field against Washington's defense. That was a given. And they did, by the way. You know, everybody, I think, this morning as they wake up, would be surprised to hear the Lions went for 521 yards.
Which is crazy.
It is. 7.7 yards per play, by the way. Probably going to end up being the highest that any team has offensively in a playoff game this year, and maybe over the last couple of years, like frankly. Certainly with the number of plays that they ran, 68 plays. You're not going to see that but once or twice every 5 years. So the Lions offense did the Lions offense's job, as far as I'm concerned, moving the football. The problem was they didn't protect it. And that's a Jared Goff issue mostly. I can ding Ben Johnson. I think we should ding Ben Johnson for the one play call where he ran, I think, 4 trick plays. 3 of them worked beautifully. 1 was a touchdown. And then the last one was the interception. Now, the coaching point to the wide receiver, Jamison Williams, is probably not to throw that ball into coverage. You probably are supposed to, you know, see a coverage bust and throw it to an open guy or run it or throw it out of bounds. And he didn't do that. But when you ask Jamison Williams, who was suspended for betting on football and had a celebration where he was doing dirty things with the ground to make the right decision. Sometimes he might not make the right decision,
yeah,
believe
right.
it or not. But I thought overall, like, this was a game in which the Lions' defense was the biggest reason why they lost, obviously, narrowly. But that was to be expected. They're down 15-plus guys, and they lost 3 DBs along the way. Jared Goff, 3 interceptions.
That'd be awful.
Pick 6, Quan Martin, horrendous. The other interception at the end of the half was unforgivable.
Yeah.
It's a first down. You have multiple timeouts. You're inside the 30. The worst-case scenario there is that you get a field goal, and you make it a one-possession game at halftime. And you got, you know, still 4 or 5 plays there before the half to go get points. And he throws a first-down interception on a deep post, underthrowing his wide receiver who's open. He missed Jamison Williams on a 75-yard touchdown in the game. The pick at the end of the game was in garbage time, and you're trying to make something happen. That's whatever. His sack fumble was terrible. I just thought his 4 turnovers,
yeah,
and specifically 3 of them, were brutal. And that's the difference in the game. Washington has yet to turn the ball over in 2 playoff games, and they're +6 in turnover margin. That's why they're still playing.
All right, Grant, hopefully you're feeling a little bit better. Looking forward to hearing you during the week, my friend. Washington back in the NFC Championship game for the first time since 91. GP, appreciate you giving us some time, brother.
How about it, dude? What a time to be alive.
What a time. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, one final segment. We'll give out some game balls from yesterday's playoff victory. The Commanders, 45-31 winners over the Detroit Lions, punching their ticket to the NFC Championship game for the first time since 91. We have out some game balls for some standout performances next. Appreciate you all riding with us here as we celebrate the Washington Commanders back in the NFC Championship game for the first time since 1991 after the big win last night over the Detroit Lions. It's been 33 years, 12,060 days, 1,723 weeks, 289,439 hours. But now the Commanders are back 60 minutes away from punching their ticket to the Super Bowl down in New Orleans. Washington will travel to the winner of Los Angeles and Philadelphia. That game set to kick off in a little bit under an hour. Make sure you keep it locked right here on The Fan for Westwood One's coverage of the NFL playoffs. Eagles and Rams coming up. But what a special, special season it has been for the Washington Commanders, and it continues. I just am so impressed by the brotherhood. I'm so impressed by the togetherness of this team. And look, I don't want to make it all about the quarterback, but last night, another chapter in the book of Daniels, truly cementing himself as a bona fide top five guy in the National Football League. I've said it a couple of different times throughout the show. There is no quarterback in football right now I would rather have than the young man that is under center for the Washington Commanders. Jaden Daniels and the good guys back in the NFC Championship. They await the winner of Philadelphia in L.A. Keep it locked on The Fan all week long to hear your favorite personalities' reaction to the Commanders ending the NFC Championship game drought. That's going to do it for myself. I'm back with you tomorrow night, 6:30 to 10 on Overtime.